Now, really, we've almost come full circle to when we started the interview, Andy, talking about that split at the back end of the 70s following the Stackridge album and concept piece, Mr. Mick. And from that, well, you can tell us, fill in the detail about how the Corgis came about, because there seemed to be then a conscious effort on your part and on James Warren's part to go a bit more commercial.
Yes, there was a delay of a couple of years after Mr. Mick and when that happened. And to be fair to James, it wasn't really my idea. But as soon as we got together again, must have been about early 78, I guess, that's when the idea of doing something commercial cropped up. But of course, James has always loved commercial music, so that's it was more his drive in the early days that did that, you know. But as soon as we'd had the idea of writing an album of genuine pop songs, then of course we got hold of the idea with both hands, you know, and it was a refreshing change.
And of course, the band we're most closely associated with, Everyone's Got to Learn Sometime, which was a massive international hit, wasn't it? Did that take you by surprise at all, or did you always think, well, actually, we've got a gem here and it's going to go very big sort of thing?
Well, you might get a slightly different story from James, but this is the way I remember it. No, it wasn't a question of having a gem on our hands when we were playing through the rough ideas for the album. I just distinctly remember we were sitting around a piano in Crescent Studios, and James played it, and we sort of thought, well, what can we do with that? Because it's quite a bit different from his original version, because there were more lyrics, a second verse, and a sort of a bouncier major chorus in the middle. And we frankly didn't really know what to do with it. It wasn't until David Lord had played around with it and several other people that it began to emerge like it did. So it was more of an accident, really.
The album, This World's for Everyone, and I should mention to listeners that it came out, reissued by Angel Air several years ago, with bonus tracks.
I regret that album wasn't recorded in a proper studio with some outside influence as well, you know, a producer. I think it could have been a really good album, but we were slightly sort of, our timing's always been bad, and anything to do with the Corgis and Stackridge, you know. I think right about that time, James and I had just interspersed as songwriters, I think. I think that comes across on the album, because there are a bunch of good songs and better songs that sort of have a maturity about them. But in fact, the album was concocted around a computer, really. You know, I think we had some live drums here and there and some live guitar, but it was in the days when computers were a tiny bit clunky, you know. They weren't as flexible as they are these days. And when I listen to it now, I kind of hear that a bit, you know. The old Lindrum was state of the art at the time, but there's not as much feel at all as you can get in addictive drums or any of the other software you get these days, you know.